Today is August 9th, 2017, and this is episode number 423 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, and I'm always a plane ride away. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note, boo, 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 at acm@macobserver.com.
It's true. You are only a plane ride away from,
I am
everywhere.
From everywhere in the world.
Yeah. That's almost romantic. Well, it actually is romantic.
Actually, I'm not really a plane. Like, my next door neighbor, I don't think I'm a plane right away. Mostly pedantic.
Well, you could be a plane right away. It would be very inefficient.
No, you couldn't. You couldn't take a plane to get to me from next door.
Well, what you'd have to do is drive to the airport, get on a plane, fly so that you land back at the same airport, and then drive next door.
Yeah, that's true, because anybody who's flying, they're still going to be... Okay, all right, fair enough.
See?
Yeah, all right, I'm a plane right away from everywhere in the world.
See?
Yeah.
That's romantic.
It is romantic. Romantic, yeah. Is the word.
It's romantic. It's totally the word. It's, yeah.
You know what's also romantic?
The way you flutter your eyes.
Yes. You know what else is romantic?
A surprise bottle of wine. In certain situations. Could be,
yeah. Not necessarily, but certainly there's a little possibility. You know what else is romantic?
I was going to say naughty underpants, but you tell me, what's romantic?
Disney is pulling out their content from Netflix. Wait, that's not romantic. What's the other one?
My head is hurting trying to make that romantic in some way.
Concerning.
Oh, concerning.
Right. It's not romantic. I get those two mixed up a lot.
Well, that explains a lot.
Now I haven't actually read the story. Did you read the story? Because our listeners know we don't research anything.
I have read up on this a little bit.
Okay. All right, so what's the deal?
So the deal is that Disney's contract with Netflix ends in 2019. Disney has chosen to not renew that contract. And they have said, I mean, they're very clear about this. They are planning on starting up their own subscription service. And that will have all of the Disney content, which includes Pixar and Marvel. And although right now there's a question about how much of the Marvel content is going to be there and if any will stay on Netflix. And primarily
because Marvel had a separate agreement before they were bought by Disney.
I'm not exactly sure. They may have. And so it sounds like right now the movies are all going. It's the TV shows that are kind of in question. So that would be things it would be Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, Luke Cage, The Punisher, and the Defenders miniseries that's coming up.
All right. Well, that's probably bad news for Netflix. I would say right now that Netflix's subscriber base is driven primarily by their original content. I think that they have done an excellent job of of turning into a source for original content and making that be their primary driver for subscriptions.
Yep, that's the main reason I subscribe to Netflix.
Certainly the main reason that I subscribe to Netflix.
They have a lot of really good original content in addition to Marvel properties. But losing the Marvel properties, for the TV shows, if that happens, that would really suck for them. Losing all the movies and Disney titles, Pixar titles, that's going to suck.
Yeah, but really, this is a loss for consumers. You know, now let's give a hat tip to Adam Christensen, because he's the one that put this bug in our head this morning during our morning meeting on and TMO Towers. Disney going its own way and requiring us to have a separate Disney subscription is the kind of siloization of content that is not good for us as consumers.
No, it is not. And I look at this as a trend that is going to stifle cord cutters. Because if I have yes. to pay for all these different subscription services to see the shows that I want, it's going to be the same problem that a lot of people are complaining about with software right now, which is I only have so much money. I can't afford to subscribe to everything.
Right. And it's getting to the point where, you know, if you want to, you know, you want to save your cable bill because your cable bill keeps climbing. Mm-hmm. But now to get a bunch of original content, you're going to be paying as much or more. You got to pay Hulu. Right. You got to pay Netflix. You got to pay Amazon.
Mm-hmm. You have to pay HBO.
You got to pay HBO for sure.
Now you have to pay CBS All Access.
And now in 2019, at some point, you're going to have to pay Disney too. Mm-hmm. And Apple
there's
Music.
Others out there that we haven't mentioned, but yeah.
Like Apple Music.
All right. Yep. There's also Apple Music. And Spotify is starting up their own original programming.
Yeah, we need these companies coming together like Netflix to bring us multiple sources of content, not siloing off. And so far what is happening is that the original content, with the Hulu, of course you've got Handmaid's Tale.
Right. And soon Runaways.
Yeah.
Which is a Marvel property.
I see. Hulu is having success with original content. Clearly Netflix has just, you know, had runaway success. By the way, I just watched Travelers. Have you seen that on Netflix?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah, that's the series with McCormick.
Yeah, Eric McCormick.
Eric McCormick. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
When did you watch it? I thought it was brand new.
I watched it when it was brand new.
Oh.
So, months ago.
Oh, I see. I thought it was brand new. I thought it was like on some sort of like pseudo bleeding edge here.
Well.
I am not. I'm surfing in the wake.
Yes, but if it helps, it's a bloody wake. Because it's still close to the... I should just stop right
wow.
now.
Wow.
No, it was a really good show. I really enjoyed it.
What's wrong with you? What the crap is wrong with you?
I'm not sure. Either it's that I didn't sleep well last night or that I didn't start drinking early enough today.
Yes. Both are correct answers. anyway, I just finished that last night, actually. I binged it. I think I watched it over 3 days, so that's pseudo binging.
That qualifies in my book as binging.
It's I get tense about most time travel shows and books because most of them handle it very poorly in my incredibly snobby opinion. I thought that their take on time travel was refreshing. It was very interesting.
I really enjoyed it. And one of the things that I loved about that show was that they looked at the very real ramifications for it in context of the story that these people that are time traveling have to deal with. And
yeah,
it wasn't just like step through the magic portal. And there you are, some other place. There is a lot more to it, and yeah, it was a very compelling story with very compelling characters.
Yes,
yeah, I think it's a really well done series.
Yeah, I very 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 much enjoyed it. I was sad to get to the end of the episode, although I was pleased there were 12 episodes and not 10. 10 has become the new.
Yeah.
The new.
The new norm.
The new 22.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean that's a really good example of some of the great programming, original programming we're seeing on these networks.
Yeah, and so Netflix has done their thing. Amazon has clearly had their success. Hulu is having success. HBO is you know the folks that really started this with the original content, and that's great, and that's wonderful, and that's fantastic. But as a consumer, I don't want to have 72 subscriptions.
Right. Yeah, I was really liking having Netflix and then Amazon. Well, and then it grew to Apple Music. But yeah, not having very many subscriptions, I really liked that. Okay, here's the funny thing. I'm a cord cutter. I am very happy to be a cord cutter. And what I'm saying right now, hadn't even realized it until now, is that what I would prefer is a consolidated system for watching all of this content, which sure sounds like a cable TV subscription to me.
Or, alternately, what Apple has been trying to do for years.
Mm-hmm.
And Apple has, I mean, and you know, this, what Disney is doing is part and parcel with the problem that Apple has had in bringing a service like this to market. And that's that they all, the content owners want to maximize their profits and they don't want to hand over control of that relationship. And Disney looks at its vast portfolio, and Disney is one of the biggest media companies on the planet at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And they look at this vast portfolio that has a lot of some of the best franchises in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, you know, our stuff is so valuable. Really, we ought to just be the only people making money off of it.
Now, from an economic standpoint, totally makes sense. Because
it does, except for
profits.
It's going to make things more difficult for me as a consumer to watch it. You know, when you're on a service like Netflix or even Hulu, and of course not everybody's on Hulu either, and Netflix content isn't on Hulu, for instance. Right. But the point is that Amazon and Hulu and Netflix are all conglomeration aggregators.
Mm-hmm.
That also offer their own content. By having the own content be its own thing, that is less convenient for me. If Disney was going to launch its own aggregator service that featured its own content, I'd be a little more happy about this. Right? Are you following me?
I am totally following you. And the image I have in my head right now is HBO. And I would love it if HBO's content was aggregated with all the other stuff that I enjoy watching. But as it stands, if I want to watch Westworld season 2, whenever that comes out, well, I have to have a separate HBO subscription to be able to do that.
Right. And to be fair, HBO started off as an aggregator. Mm-hmm. But, you know, who actually watches movies on HBO anymore?
Well, you don't have to, because that's what Amazon and Hulu and Netflix are for, and HBO is for original content. Does HBO even have old movies anymore?
Yeah.
That shows you how closely I watch what HBO is offering, because I only care about their original content.
Well, and they offer so much original content that one can do that. I don't know this. I understand why Disney is doing this. I think that this is a harbinger of bad things for us as consumers.
I agree. And what I'm picturing now is a future where people like me coordinate with friends, and we're each subscribing to different services. And then when it comes time to watch specific shows, we now do this thing where we're kind of house hopping to watch various shows based on who's subscribed to what.
Mm, okay, I suppose. I don't think many people are going to do that.
Yeah, well, I live in a weird world.
Okay, so what if this is just a negotiating tactic?
I don't think it's a negotiating tactic. I think that Disney is totally set on doing this because they're tired of sharing the revenue for their streaming content with Netflix.
That is likely, but it is possible that it's a negotiating tactic. It's possible. I mean, because, you know, they are pulling out a year and a half or more in advance, which leaves plenty of time to negotiate a better deal.
Mm-hmm. It does. But I don't think it's happening.
Yeah, probably not. But it could.
There's probably other reasons that benefit Disney for making the announcement now. And I don't know what those are, but otherwise, why wait? Why not just tell everyone when you're ready to roll that you're launching a new service?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting at the very least. You know, I think that content owners need to have a come to Jesus moment. And I think that they need to understand that at some point we, the consumer, actually want ease. And ease includes not paying 52 different parties mm-hmm. for 52 different subscriptions mm-hmm. and having to use 52 different apps to watch everything.
Yep. You remember when Dave wrote his article about the big problem with Apple TV is that it's app-based and not content-based?
Yes.
Well, that's not going to change because all this content fragmenting and siloing, that just means a more need for more apps.
Yes.
That really sucks. So, how likely would you be to buy the Disney service?
To buy the Disney service. Not.
I am not likely to buy it unless that's the only way to get the Marvel TV shows.
Because you don't have a cable subscription.
Right. And although I'm saying that, knowing full well that I have no interest in paying for CBS All Access, but that's the only way I'll be able to watch Star Trek Discovery. And I'm very interested in that show, but I do not want to pay for CBS All Access. So I guess what I'm saying is I'm not likely to pay for a Disney streaming service, and I'm really hoping that the Marvel TV shows stay on Netflix.
Yeah. I'm about to, by the way, I don't think I've mentioned this to you, but about to make a change in my own TV. We're going to lose Comcast here. Okay. And go to the idea is to see if we can cut some cost, because Comcast jacks up. They do that thing. Then and I think everybody has experienced this, where your frickin' costs seem to go up like every month by a buck or two. Mm-hmm. It's just this constant escalation in price, and it's really super annoying. And it's just gotten too much. So we're going to try to cut down. I think we're actually going to try Hulu's service as a household.
Okay.
And we still have Netflix and HBO.
So you'll pay for your broadband and
yes.
then subscriptions to Hulu, Netflix,
and yes.
Amazon
and,
Prime.
And here, I'm not an Amazon Prime Video subscriber.
Do you have an Amazon Prime subscription? Like, yes. I mean, you pay every year.
Yes.
Then you are.
Oh,
that's,
really?
That's just all included. Hey,
who knew?
I did. You should. Yeah, asked.
Fair enough. Most people do. We're also dumping Comcast. Period, because we're going to with AT&T. AT&T has gigabit fiber here in San Jose.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it'll be nice, hopefully. I mean, AT&T is also a crappy company. So,
yeah, gigabit fiber.
Yeah, that should be super nice. And then the house I'm moving to is wired with Cat 6.
Oh, nice.
So I'm going to be setting up Velup in the house with Cat 6 doing the backhaul.
Oh, that's very nice.
It should be. It should be dreamy.
Yeah, that should be dreamy.
I'm talking exactly about Link, the Linksys Velup mesh routers is what I'm talking about there.
Yeah. And yeah, you should have so much bandwidth that you just can't saturate it now. That would be awesome. Well, you can, because I believe in you. But most people wouldn't be able to saturate it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So anyway, yeah, that's what's going on here. I'm not too pleased with Disney here. Be nice if Disney would also make its content available to something to do with Apple. I wish that Apple and Disney could really kick off the thing that Apple wants to do. But you know, if they're pulling out of Netflix, I don't know that Disney is going to be all that interested in working with Apple either.
No, I think they have a better relationship with Apple, but I agree. What's the benefit in doing something with Apple if they're just going to have their own thing?
Right.
Yeah. Well, this doesn't bode well for people like me, for serious cord cutters.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It really, really, really doesn't.
Well, that red box that's only a block or so away from me might be a lot more enticing pretty soon.
Really? You think so? Think you'll still be there?
Well, the box isn't going to leave. Maybe. What? Do you know something about red box that I don't know?
Well, I think that they've been struggling in the face of internet distribution of movies. So, yeah, I think I don't think they're doing all that well.
Oh, that's not reassuring. I mean, they're in a better place compared to, say, Blockbuster, because Blockbuster just totally couldn't compete. But the overhead for Redbox is a lot lower.
That's true.
So I hope they stay around, because every now and then it's kind of nice to be able to grab something there. And if a lot of the content that I went to see, you know, like say a movie that's a Disney property isn't available to me any other way, well, renting a Redbox movie is typically cheaper than renting the same content on the iTunes store.
Right. Yeah, the Apple's prices are expensive for renting.
Yeah, but you're also paying for convenience.
Yeah, that's true. I tend to just eschew instead of opting for either.
Oh, well, I have found that I watch a lot more movie rentals on iTunes than I used to, because it is really convenient. You know, I'm done with dinner and just need to kick back for a little bit. Want to watch something different? It's right there. Choose something, $3.99, $4.99, and I'm watching a movie.
Yeah.
I've taken us down a rabbit hole with that real quick. I watched the live-action version of Ghost in the Shell a few days ago.
Yep.
Do not. I don't care how interested you are in seeing how bad of a movie it is. Just don't. It was so disappointing. It was a really bad movie.
There was did I ever relay the old? Do you remember that movie Tasha Yar did? What's her name? Denise.
Oh, Denise Crosby.
Denise Crosby. Right. So, what was that movie she did? That was It was a post-apocalyptic thing. Denise Crosby.
There's the movie where she played the mom to Elijah Wood.
No. This was in the 80s.
Oh, not sure.
Let me find this.
This would have been something like right after she left Star Trek Next Generation.
Yes. I got to find it here. I'm totally going to find it. Movies, films. Boy, she's actually done a lot of movies.
Yeah, she's very busy. My guess is right now there are several people Miracle Mile. Yelling at their iPhones.
Miracle Mile.
Okay.
Terrible movie. Absolutely mind-bogglingly bad movie. So I watched this movie with a buddy of mine, Cole. Mm-hmm. Cole and I watched this movie, and it was terrible. And we were very upset that we were the only people that had wasted our time watching this movie.
So you wanted consolation in misery through numbers?
Yes, I did. And when I say we, what I really mean is me, because Cole is so much a better person than me in general. But so I went to my buddy Dave, not Dave Hamilton. This would be a different Dave, but way back in the 80s. And I said, Dave. The 80s, Dave. I said, Dave, man, dude, did you watch Miracle Mile yet? And I knew that, of course, he hadn't because you know, it was rented on VHS. Mm-hmm. And I said, have you watched Miracle Mile? I said, no. Is it good, Spry? It's called me Spry. And I said, oh, dude, man, it's really, really good. Now, it starts off kind of weak.
A horrible person.
It starts off kind of weak, but you got to plow through. You got to stick with it till the end because it's really awesome.
Oh my God,
he is not forgiven me this.
Well, I don't blame him. You're lucky that 80s Dave even talks to you at all.
I am lucky that 80s Dave even talks to me at all. Although to be fair, he didn't return my last phone call, so I don't know. Maybe this has finally come home to roost.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah, but he did too. He stuck with it. He's like, Spry. He was my boss at the time too.
Oh, does this explain on any level why you're in a different industry now?
It may have something to do with it. I'm not exactly sure. Anyway, absolutely terrible mile. A terrible movie, that Miracle Mile.
I'm terrible. So glad I didn't see it.
I cannot imagine that it is held up.
No, I'm assuming it's so bad that MST3K won't even do it.
What? Oh my goodness. Critical response. According to Wikipedia, Miracle Mile received generally positive reviews among critics. Robert Ebert praised the film. That is a terrible movie. Is anyone seen this? Write us acm@macobserver.com or hit us up on Twitter at Context Machine. Did you like that movie? 88% of critics gave the film a positive review based on 25 reviews, according to Rotten Tomatoes. That is unbelievable. That is unbelievable. That movie was such a pile of crap.
Well, I'm not going to watch it.
Huh.
And
are you sure it's really good? It's going to start off kind of weak. Just stick. all right. Anyway, let's move on.
Yeah. All right. I have to wrap that up by saying, if you watch Ghost in the Shell, watch the original anime.
Brilliant, oh, okay.
Wonderful, beautiful, just so well executed. That's how you watch Ghost in the Shell. Okay, aha. Now we can move on.
Aha. Fitbit.
LOL. Oh, Fitbit. Do you remember how for, what was it, like 3 years in a row at CES, we would go to the Fitbit booth and ask them about HomeKit support, or excuse me, HealthKit support?
Yep.
And they gave us the same line about how it's not in their customers' best interests.
Yeah. By which they meant it's not in our best interest. And exactly. Really, it would have been precisely in their best interest. I argued to their face that if you want me to be interested in Fitbit, you should be supporting HealthKit.
Yep. And I was for a long time a hardcore Fitbit advocate.
Yeah. Yeah, you were. You wore it and you used it and you liked it.
Yep. It was fantastic. And then HealthKit came along and other products were coming along and Apple Watch happened. And that was it. Retired my Fitbit.
Yeah. And at first, yeah, you weren't sure if you were going to like Apple Watch. LOL. Yeah. And,
you say LOL, but for me,
that was me laughing at you.
I know. But for me, it was a legitimate process that I had to go through because I hadn't worn a watch in like 20 years.
I know, but I say LOL because I knew that was the process. It's not because I was laughing at you. It's because I was laughing at you.
Oh, I see. Hey, have you ever seen Miracle Mile?
I hear it's got a great ending.
I know. You just need to power through it, Brian.
Yeah, people say it has a great ending. I'll channel a certain famous politician.
Anyhow, yeah. So, yeah, so I abandoned Fitbit a while ago. A lot of other people have been abandoning Fitbit, and their quarterly revenue has been suffering for it. But they're assuring us that it's going to be a lot better this fall because they're going to be releasing their smartwatch, and they've been talking about the smartwatch for a while now. We still haven't seen it.
But well, they bought Pebble.
Yes, they also bought us another smartwatch company.
Right.
And I just drew a blank on what their name is. I keep wanting to say Velop, but that's not right. That's the Wi-Fi mesh thing that you're using.
Yeah. And we don't actually research anything, so I have no idea.
Well, it's one of those things that I knew, and I'm just drawing a blank right now. Anyhow, top men. But yeah, they bought these two companies that were already making smartwatches. And they've been working on making their own smartwatch for a while, and it still hasn't come out.
Yeah, right. Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. Smartwatches without a platform are useless.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Android Wear is barely useful, and it has a platform behind it. And Samsung Galaxy Gear Watch, is that what they still call those things?
Yeah, Gear? I think they stopped calling it the Stalker Watch.
Those are barely useful. And they don't have a platform. They have a series of products that are based on someone else's platform behind them. Mm-hmm. So my point is that I don't think that a smartwatch makes much sense at this point in the game unless you've got a platform behind it.
Yeah, a smartwatch for the sake of being a smartwatch is not going to be successful. Not now. And I think that's kind of where Fitbit is going with this. They have made for a long time some of the best fitness trackers.
Yes.
And the problem is they're siloed when they shouldn't be. And I totally get the irony of complaining about Fitbit being siloed when Apple is all about siloing. But the difference here is that, well, Apple
has a platform.
They have a platform.
An ecosystem.
Exactly. And other companies can hook into that. And share.
Yes. Yeah, sort of.
Well, I'm talking about HealthKit.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah. So other companies can hook into that. Now you can buy whatever fitness and health tracking device you want and use it without feeling like you have to do something different. It just works with what you have, assuming it's HealthKit compatible. Fitbit's not going down that path. So they're making a smartwatch that's going to be too siloed.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I don't know what Fitbit's solution is. I mean, I think that their solution was to was to stay in the Apple store and support HealthKit. Or let me rephrase that. I think that the solution was to support HealthKit and stay in the Apple store.
Yes, I agree. And they could focus on making the best fitness trackers anyone can buy. And if you can, create the fitness tracking features that outperform what you do on or what you can get with an Apple Watch, that would be a very compelling purchase for a lot of people.
I don't think they can do that though, Jeff. I think that Apple has too much money to pour into the, I mean, like look at the heartbeat monitor that Apple developed. Apple's the only company that did what they did with the heartbeat monitor. And this was when they weren't even yet, the fitness wasn't the predominant focus of Apple Watch at the time. I don't know that any company can really, I mean, it would, like a company like Google, maybe, I mean, obviously Google has the resources to focus on any given thing that they want to do, but I don't know that Fitbit was ever capable of outperforming Apple Watch, certainly not over the long haul. But what they can do is they could focus, like for instance, a Fitbit strap for mechanical watches. The reports to HealthKit. I've been wanting that for a long time. If I would wear my mechanical watch if I had a smart strap that was tracking the same kinds of data that Apple Watch tracks.
Yeah, and see, to me, that's not something that's in Apple's best interest to make. So third party, they make a band, could be Fitbit, and they do HealthKit support, and there you go. Now you would have the option you want. You'd be wearing your, it's a Zenith, right?
Yeah.
You'd be wearing your Zenith with your HealthKit compatible watch band, and you'd be happy. You'd have the best of both worlds for you.
Yes. 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 And that's something that a company like Fitbit could do probably better than most other companies. And they could focus on fitness tracking and applications where you don't want to bother wearing something like an Apple Watch. And I think that was their avenue for success. And those punks had such an attitude. They had such an attitude about how they, you know, this business about, you know, not supporting HealthKit and best interest customers, blah, blah, blah. It was so cocky. It was so cocky. And they were so wrong.
Yeah, they were. It's one of those places where they like really, really screwed up for the business model.
Yeah.
And I totally get that there's a lot of value in maintaining their customers and maintaining that customer data, even though they, part of their business model is they don't sell off your data. I think that they really didn't want to share that with anyone. So they weren't willing to do the HealthKit route.
Right. And they're paying the price today. Yeah, they're paying that price.
Yeah. They thought that because they were already so well established,
yes,
that they could maintain their complete siloed experience and they'd be fine. But they've been losing relevance.
Yeah, can I take this moment to also point out how smart Apple was to target fashion with Apple Watch?
Oh, that was a really smart move.
You know, like the whole business, you look at the Apple Watch edition, the first one, the gold one, right? And that thing, like I said at the time, don't buy this device. It's not going to be worth what you're paying for it. You know, it's not like the other $10,000 watches are going to appreciate over time. The $10,000 Apple Watch was not going to appreciate. And it made no sense for me whatsoever. And sure enough, they canceled it for Apple Watch Series 2, right? Mm-hmm. The Apple Watch Edition became a ceramic thing, not a gold thing, and it was a tenth of the price. But the thing is that the gold Apple Watch Edition served its purpose. And that purpose was to pitch and position this product alongside jewelry and high-end watches. And people might not have bought it. It might have been a failure as a product, but from it served its purpose of positioning Apple Watch where Apple wanted it to be positioned.
Yeah.
And that's something.
Yeah. And it worked. I mean, I don't think about any product that Fitbit makes as a fashion product. It's a functional fitness tracker device. That's it. But even my $350 Apple Watch aluminum body model, to me, that there is a fashion statement in this. And I've been buying different watch bands just because of that.
Sure. I need to get a new watch band for my Apple Watch. Are you excited about the Series 3, by the way?
I'm excited to see what it is. Sure. I like this idea that it might have LTE in it. Mm-hmm. Unlike some people, I don't think that would be a full-on phone. I think it would be a data connection like on the iPad. But I kind of like that idea. I mean, there are times where it would be a lot easier for me to look up data with just my watch. And it would be cool to have times where I could leave my phone behind if I needed to. And
see, yeah, for sure.
Things like messages come through and be able to do, a quick Google search or whatever.
Yeah. You know what I want? I want the barometer so that they can track stairs without me having to take my watch around. My clock on the phone.
You know, okay, here's one place where I'm really annoyed with that. Because Fitbit was accurately tracking steps, like stairs climbed,
uh-huh,
long before people were putting barometers in devices.
Fair enough.
So for Apple to say you have to use your phone and it has to use the barometer and that's the only way you're going to be able to get accurate data, I don't buy it. Fitbit was doing it for a long time, and they were doing it with far less sophisticated equipment than an Apple Watch.
Right. And that's the kind of stuff that Fitbit should have built on and continued to add. A wise Fitbit would have said, oh my goodness, Apple's going to crush us with this Apple Watch. So we need to think of all the ways that people want to do fitness tracking where they don't want to have an Apple Watch, and we need to position ourselves in those niches, and we need to support HealthKit.
That would have been great. I think Fitbit would be in a very different place today if they had done that.
I agree. Yeah, that cockiness and arrogance that they met us with when we would. I mean, don't get me wrong. I in particular was being a jerk about HomeKit at talking to the PR folks at
It wouldn't have mattered
at the company, but
their response was going to be the same.
Yeah. I mean, the reason why I went into jerk mode was because they were greeting my questions with such arrogance and such cockiness. And it was so incredibly, frustrating and I told you, there we go. So apparently I'm still in jerk mode.
You know, I walked away from years of really valuable Fitbit data. Just walked away from it because they don't support HealthKit. And yeah, I know there's apps that would get some of that stuff for me, but the process I was going to go through to get it out and put it back into HealthKit, it was one of those things where it's like, well, okay, fresh start on all my health and fitness data.
Yeah.
And I walked away from Fitbit and the Fitbit platform, and I can't imagine going back unless they make an incredibly compelling product that supports HealthKit.
Correct. Yeah. Agreed. Agreed. And I would check out, like I said, hey, I would buy a Fitbit strap for a mechanical watch.
Well, there you go.
I would in a heartbeat. I would love to have Fitbit quality on a smart strap. Mm-hmm. I would love that. I would buy that in an absolute heartbeat. Would I buy that?
Well, good news, at least for your bank account, you're not going to have to spend that money.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
Fitbit will go to their grave without supporting HealthKit.
That's probably literally true.
Yep. And you're about to ask me something, weren't you?
Yeah. What's our time?
Oh, we are at 45 minutes.
Oh, excellent. So about those self-driving cars.
Yeah.
It turns out they're going to be easy to turn into rolling death machines.
Oh, sweet. This is going to be a great movie.
It will be a great movie, except for the movie is going to be like, you know, the 5 o'clock news.
Oh, I was kind of thinking we could cast Denise Crosby.
So here is the deal. Mm-hmm. Some researchers put together some what they called physical attacks on self-driving cars. And what they really mean is they figured out ways to fool self-driving cars.
So what do you mean by fool them? What are they doing?
God, you're such a good straight man. So one of the things that they did was they took a stop sign and they put some square pieces of tape in very strategic places that caused self-driving cars to read the stop signs as 45 mile an hour signs, speed limit signs.
Now, I looked at these photos and it's not like they had to do much. It was four pieces of tape, like two black and two white, pretty much.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. It's two black and two. Yeah. You know, like you would look at it, you wouldn't, you know, we wouldn't think anything about it because the human mind sees that and we see stop. We still see the stop.
Right. Yeah. We're able to think around the four squares or rectangles that are stuck on there. Yep.
Yeah. And, but then they did some other things too. And so, I mean, what they were doing is they were targeting the way self-driving car sensors are looking for information. Mm-hmm. Right. And here's a really simple one. They made a sign that is in the shape of a right turn sign and they put it over another sign.
And let me guess, the car interpreted that as the wrong sign.
Yeah. I don't know how the, I don't think they were, I didn't actually read the entire white paper yet.
That's okay because top men.
Yeah, we are top men. But what their testing showed is that the cars were fooled. And there are other, there are plenty of, this is just, you know, these are just like some researchers at a university who are exploring this concept as opposed to say, you know, malicious pricks with a real agenda to actually cause chaos and harm.
You know, when I was reading about this, I was thinking, yep, malicious people, stupid kids that think it's funny to change a stop sign into a speed limit sign as far as the car's concerned. But what about places where you have weather where signs can be partially obscured, like Colorado in the winter with the snow?
Oh, sure. You mean like where nature is actually messing around with you?
Yeah, where nature's just being nature and there's nothing malicious at all. I mean, at what point do we have problems where snow on a sign makes a car think that it should accelerate through a stop sign?
Okay, what about someone who is targeting someone specific? They know that someone's coming on a route, and so they very specifically rig up signs that are going to cause that person harm. What about a would-be terrorist? What about the competition? What about Lyft screwing with Uber? Or you know, let's be honest, Uber screwing with Lyft.
Yeah, that seems more likely.
Right? I mean, what about the fired Uber driver who wants to get back at Uber? What about all of the things? And, you know, we've talked about the fact that self-driving cars are in their, they're not even in their infancy yet. They're still being conceived.
Yeah. Yeah. If we take the human evolution or growth analogy, this is an embryonic state.
Yes. And there is so much testing that has to be done to make these things foolproof, and they need to be as close to foolproof as we can get before they're actually launched.
Right. You know, if we had a system where human interaction was removed completely, so no chance for humans to drive the vehicles at all, and the road systems that these autonomous cars are on are not places where humans can get at signs, and you wouldn't even need signs anymore anyhow, then this wouldn't be as big a deal. But if we're going to put autonomous cars into the mix with humans, we can't have problems where four stickers on a stop sign makes a car think it should go 45 miles an hour.
Through an intersection. Yeah. By the way, yeah, that was, we should probably, I maybe should have specified that. So like the issue here would be that a car didn't see the stop sign as a stop sign, but instead as a speed limit sign. So it just plows through the intersection. Now, theoretically, some other safety systems could kick in. For instance, safety systems designed
monitor the movement of other vehicles.
Yeah. Or pedestrians, but mm-hmm. It certainly would be possible for something to happen too late, right? So someone to step out in the road because, you know, it's a stop sign, you know, cars mm-hmm. stop. Who does, you know, what, cars don't stop at a stop sign. So you're just going to walk across the road because you got, you know, you've got the pedestrian walking thing going on, or the car who's not paying attention. It's a stop sign. Everybody knows how the rules of a stop sign, a four-way stop sign works. And so the car's going to go. Right. And I mean, it's like, this is some scary and, sobering data.
You know, it's kind of funny because now that I think about it, it means right now autonomous vehicles drive more like humans, unpredictably.
Yes.
That's not reassuring. So how comfortable do you feel having any autonomous vehicles on the road right now?
Right now, probably not. I'm okay with the testing that's being done. Mm-hmm. I am okay with the testing that's being done, and I also have a high feel like there's a high probability that we're going to have a more serious accident than we've had with the testing that's being done, especially with, you know, you remember that guy that the young guy who, like, you know, he's going to move to China because he's not going to be like, you know, held down by the government. What, do you remember that chucklehead?
No,
he's the guy that developed a self-driving system in his garage.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And he was also one of the early iPhone hackers.
Yes.
Like Joe Breakers.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That guy, you know, and I mean, there's a guy who has all the answers, who knows better than everybody else, and nobody can tell him what to do because he's the smartest guy in every single room possible mm-hmm. in his mind. And don't get me wrong, he probably is more often than not the smartest guy in the room, but he doesn't have all the answers, you know, and when you've got people like that out there doing this stuff, where, you know, he shouldn't, you know, like no one should be able to tell him what to do. That's a problem for me. And when you've got companies like Uber who are wanting to constantly push every single boundary, who scoff in the face of all regulations and believe that rules are only for the chumps to follow, There is where we end up having the potential for problems. Now, Tesla has been very careful about their testing. Mm-hmm. I'm actually really comfortable with what Tesla's doing. I'm very comfortable with what Apple's doing. I'm also very comfortable with what Google has been doing. And our longtime listeners know that I'm no fan of Google.
Right.
But I'm comfortable with the way that they've been testing autonomous vehicles.
Yeah, Google's been, as far as I can tell, very conservative about their testing.
Yeah, and while being very serious about what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're being good corporate citizens when it comes to testing this stuff.
Yeah, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, that is a good thing. And I do believe that self-driving cars are inevitable. And as much as I love driving my own car, I also believe that the world will be a better place when computers are doing all the driving.
Yeah, I enjoy being in control of a car. However, if I could have a car drive for me and then I can do other things, I would really like that too.
And when we can walk outside and have the self-driving car pull up, give us a ride. That'll be even better. When we have a third as many cars in the world, that'll be better. So, yes. I mean, yeah. So my I'm not being a Luddite here in any stretch of the imagination. This research that was published by these folks, and we'll have a link to it in the show notes, of course, it is very, very sobering. And it's not definitive, and it's not exhaustive, and it's not like proof positive that self-driving cars are a problem, but it is sobering stuff.
It's a really good reminder that we are still in the very early stages of autonomous vehicles.
Very, very, very early.
Yeah. Although I am looking forward to the time when I'm sitting at my desk and working on something and Siri says, Jeff, you have a lunch appointment with Brian in 40 minutes. Do you want me to get a ride? And I say, yes. And then Siri says, okay, it'll be waiting when you get downstairs. And so I leave my desk, I go downstairs, there's a car, I get in, and it drives me to lunch with you.
That'd be nice. It's about a 7-8 hour to 18 hour drive. Cool with that, bro?
Isn't Elon Musk going to have his turbo thing running where the car just gets on a little platform and then I get blasted across the country?
Well, so you're going to have the self-driving car take you to the station.
Right. And then it just drives onto the little platform, locks itself on.
Oh yeah. I guess that is what he's doing. Yeah. I think you would end up being in a cylinder.
Yeah.
You'd end up being in a container.
And then it shoots me across the country.
Fair enough.
Order.
Fair enough.
Have lunch. Yeah.
Giddy up. Let's do it.
Okay.
Where are we going? No cow, right?
No cow. But still there, you remember that really nice deli you took me to? Nice deli. And there was stuff that I could eat.
Is this the Italian deli, the New York deli?
Yeah.
Or was it the Jewish deli in San Francisco?
Oh no, it was the Jewish deli in San Francisco.
Oh yeah. Miller's East Coast, man. I love that place.
Yep. So that's where we'll go.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Yeah, I like that place. Oh, I'd love a roast beef sandwich on a bagel right now. Cream cheese.
Yeah.
I have a bagel downstairs, well, but I don't like the roast beef. I'm going to have it, dude. When we're done recording, I'm going to go toast up a bagel, man.
Do you have Amazon drone deliveries? Because if so, you could ask your Echo Dot to have the rest of the ingredients you need drone delivered right to your door.
Well, if I had an Echo Dot, it would have been listening to me this entire time. So, you know, cool, bro.
Funny thing is, my Echo Dot just told me it didn't understand what I was asking for.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Anyhow, well, then we should wrap up so you can go enjoy this bagel.
Oh, yes, the sesame seed.
Yeah. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. And hey, thanks for listening.
Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for us. And that's all for this week.
Stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer.